All right, so we'll say good morning. So let's begin. So we left off yesterday. Today's daf is Chav Tes. We left off on Chav Ches Amud Beis. V'sarav Apostolos es HaTorah. Apostolos went ahead and burnt the Torah on Shivasar B'tam. Remember, again, we saw the Yushami, who explained that he was a Greek general. So Apostolos burned the Torah. This was Gemara. So the Gemara says, again, we don't have Psukim to support this idea, but rather we have a tradition that this occurred on Shivasar B'tam. So the Gemara says, Hemid Selim Behechel. So also Apostolos went ahead and erected an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we know this from? Dichsev, because the Pasuk says, and he quotes over here, the Pasuk from Daniel, Ume Eis Husar HaTamid, from the time that the Tamid was stopped, Veloseis Shikutz Shomim. And he placed in there literally a shikutz, an abomination, that was shomim, that was silent. So again, that's the raya, that there was an idol that was placed inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, V'chatava, was there only one of these idols? V'haksiv, but the Pasuk says, V'al knaf shikutzim mishomim. But yet the Pasuk says, literally on the wing, of the silent shkutzim. So shkutzim over here is plural, which would seem to indicate that there was more than one of these particular idols. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Trehav, was actually very interesting. There were actually two idols. V'nafal chad al chavrei, v'tavri le'liadei. Rabbi said there were two idols that Apostolos set up. One of them fell on the other and broke the hand of the other. V'ashtachach dahava ksiv, and again it was found that it was written on the hand of the unbroken idol, tap of chavtes, ant tzavis lecharuve besa, you tried to go ahead and destroy my home. Yodcha ashlimas le, I will repay you by taking your hand. Betisha b'av nigzar lavosenu. So we'll say again. Now we go to Tisha B'av. So on Tisha B'av was decreed on our forefathers, shleikhansu le'eretz, that we will not enter into the land. So the Gemara says, minolan. How do we know that this occurred on Tisha B'av? So the Gemara goes through an interesting journey over here. Dichsiv vahi bechodesh harishon b'shana hashenis be'echa lechodesh hukam hamishkan. So it was again on the first month. In the second year, be'echa lechodesh, in the first of the month, hukam hamishkan. The Mishkan was erected. So remember again, Mishkan is put up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in year 2. Va'amar mar, shana rishona asa Moshe es ha-Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan during their first year in the desert. Shnia hiki Moshe es ha-Mishkan. In the second year, Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan. V'shalach miraglim, and he sent the miraglim all in the second year. Now, when did the shiluach ha-miraglim, when did the sending of the miraglim occur? Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayhi bashana hashenis, it was in the second year, bachodesh hasheni, in the second month, be'esrim bachodesh, in the 20th day, na'ala ha'anan me'ala mishkan. So we'll say, remember, now this is second year, second month, so Nisan, Iyar, okay, so this is on the 20th of Iyar, the cloud lifted up, and the people began to travel. Uksiv, vayisu mehar Hashem, derech shloshes yamim. They went ahead, and they traveled from the mountain of Hashem 3 days. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, o sahayom soru me'achare Hashem. So we'll say, again, interesting enough, the Gemara understands, vayisu mehar Hashem means what? That was the day already that they began to turn their backs on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at Rashi for just a moment. V'amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina osa hayom mehar loshon maher. Achshav kishetitol yutes yamim mechodesh yer. So we'll say, okay, Rashi then goes on for the calculation. So essentially, the Gemara says, the Gemara's darshins is vayisu maher mehashem or maher Hashem, that they so after leaving Har Sinai they so quickly abandoned the relationship that they had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uksiv. And the Pasuk says, V'ha'asasuf asher bekirbo, his avu ta'avo. Remember again, this is by the Slav, that the asafsuf, the gathering, the rumbling masses that were within the midst of the Jewish people, desired meat. Vayashu, where they said, Vayifko, and they cried, Gam b'nei Yisrael, uksiv. And the Pasuk says, Ad chodesham. So also remember, all the Gemara is doing right now is building the timeline. So now remember again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you're going to go ahead and have enough meat for 30 days. Dahavalu esrin v'tartin b'sivan. So when we put all of these dates together, what we arrive at is what? It is now the 29th of Sivan. So remember, we're stringing all of these events, which occur in progressive succession, and when you put them all together, it turns out that we are at the 29th of Sivan. Remember, that 30 days of meat would put us at the 29th of Sivan. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, Va'uksiv, Vatiskar, I'm sorry, the Pasuk says, Vatisager Miriam, Michutz Lamachane. So the pause says, remember, Shivas Yomim, remember again, Miriam was then, this is after the episode when Miriam spoke to Aaron about Moshe, so, and the Parshas Chukah, so Miriam was sent outside of the camp for 7 days, Dahavuluhu Esrin V'tisha B'Sivan, which pushes, I'm sorry, before the episode with Miriam, we are at the 22nd of Sivan, bless you. Now we are at, with the 7 days of Miriam's seclusion, we're at the 29th of Sivan. So we'll say now again, so remember, we've just traced the progression of events all the way pretty much from Matan Torah, or really from Hakamas HaMishkan, all the way through the 29th of Sivan, after Miriam Saras. So now at the 29th of Sivan, Uksiv Shlach Lecho Anoshim. Remember, Rabosai, right after the episode, the Parshas Chukas ends with the episode of Miriam, and Parshas Shlach, of course, begins with the sending of the Meraglim. So right after the episode of Meraglim, right after the episode of Miriam, Shlach Lecho Anoshim, send for yourself people, where Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, if he wants to send Meraglim, he is permitted to do so. V'tanyo, Be'eshim V'tisha B'Sivan, Shlach Moshe Meraglim. The Rebbe said that it comes out that on the 29th of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayashuvu mitur haaretz miketz arba'im yom. How long were the people, how long were the Meraglim gone for? 40 days. So leave on the 29th of Sivan. They come back 40 days later. So the Gemara says, the Rebbe said, the assumption is that they are coming back when? They're coming back when? On the 8th of Av. That's the assumption. Come back on the 8th of Av. They share the news. And remember again, as we're going to see, the people cry that night on the 9th of Av. Says the Gemara, the problem is, according to this math, Miketz Arbaim Yom, Hani Arbaim Yom, Nechi Chad Havu. The problem is, Lemaisa, if we do this math, it turns out that the 8th of Av is in fact 39 days later, after the 29th of Sivan, and not 40 days. Abai says it's not a problem. Tammuz dahi shasa miluye maluya. So miluye maluha. The idea was that the reason why we assume it's 39, it was 39 days is because normally Tammuz is chaser. It's normally 29 days. In that particular year, the Gemara says Tammuz was 30 days, it was Malay, and therefore the Maisa, when they come back on the 8th of Av, it was in fact 40 days later. Dichsiv Karai, Kara alai moed lishbar bachurai. The pasuk in Eicha says, "You have called upon me, or you have called upon me an appointed time to literally break my young men." So the idea over here, the Gemara is picking up moed over here as a reference to Rosh Chodesh, that you added an extra day of Rosh Chodesh in the process of breaking my young men. This is the Navi lamenting the Chet HaMeraglim. Luksiv, and the pasuk says, "Vatisa kol ha'ida." And the pasuk, so remember, the Meraglim now come back on the 8th of Av, 40 days after the 29th of Sivan. They give their disastrous report, and that night everyone begins to cry. Tisha B'Av Haya. That day was Tisha B'Av, meaning that day that they came back was Erev Tisha B'Av. That night was Tisha B'Av. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shalchinam, you're crying for no reason, v'ani kovel lachem b'chiyah l'doros. You cry for no reason now, I will give you a reason to cry for future generations. A very scathing Gemara. Charav habayis b'rishona. Remember again, the Mishnah said that the first Beis HaMikdash was, so again, that will say that's the first event that occurred on Tisha B'Av. The idea, it's not the Chet HaMeraglim that occurred on Tisha B'Av. The actual Chet, meaning the giving over of the disastrous report, actually occurred on the 8th of Av. But again, the people's reaction to the news came on the 9th of Av, and that's when ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to punish you on that day. Next event, Charav habayis. Our first place of Middash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, because the Pasuk says, U'bachodesh ha-chamishi, on the fifth month, B'shiva l'chodesh, on the seventh day of that month, Hishnas tisha esrei shana l'melech Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel. But it was the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Bavel, Ba'nevuzoran Rav Tabachim. Both saying Nebuchadnezzar, who was the primary general of Nebuchadnezzar, who was known, had the title of the head butcher. He was the head butcher. That's how bloodthirsty he was. So Avad Melech Bavel Yerushalayim, Vayisrof es Beis Hashem. So Nevuzaran comes and he burns the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I will say, remember, when is this happening according to this pasuk? This is happening in the fifth month, which is Av, but it's happening what day? On the seventh of the month. So Uksiv in the pasuk says, Ubachodesh HaChamishi Be'asur LaChodesh, and yet another pasuk says, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the month, Hishnas Tishas Hishalam Melech Melech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bava Banu Vudzor and Rav Tavachim Amad Lifnei Melech Bava B'Yushalayim. So Bosa, again, two contradictory psukim. One pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash on the seventh. The other pasuk says that when did he destroy it? On the tenth. So which one is it? V'tanya. So you can't say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 7th because the other pasuk says it was destroyed on the 10th. And you can't say that it was destroyed on the 10th. Why? Because the pasuk says it was destroyed on the 7th. So how do you reconcile this? On the 7th of Av. So again, the Nachrim, the Gentiles, our enemies, entered into the Beis HaMikdash. This is on the 7th of Av. Va'achlu v'kilkulubo, and they went ahead and they ate, and kilkulubo means they engaged in immorality in the Beis HaMikdash. Shvi'i ushmini, so they entered on the 7th, they defiled the place on the 7th and 8th. Utishi'i samuch l'mincha, samuch l'chashecha, hitzisu ba'asor. And Rabbosai, they set the Beis HaMikdash ablaze on the 9th of Av, close to the end of the day, samuch lechashecha, close to evening, meaning close to the 10th, hitzisa ba'asar, v'haya dolek v'holech kol hayom kulo. And the fire overtook the building for the entire day. For the entire day, nakolim kulo means that the fire extended the rest of the 9th, and what? And into the 10th as well. It continued burning throughout the 10th. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, oy lanu, woe to us, kipana hayom, for the day is ending, Ki yinatu tzolalei erev, for the shadows of the evening are approaching. This indicates that the idea that the Beis HaMikdash was not set ablaze until the end of the day of the 9th, which is very interesting. V'hainu d'am Rabbi Yochanan, and this is why Rabbi Yochanan said, Ilmole hayisa ba'os ador, had I lived in that time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the 9th of Av was set aside as a fast day, lo kavativ ela ba'asiri, I would not have established the fast day on the 9th. I would have established the fast day when? On the 10th, why? Mipnei sherubo shalhecha bo nisraf. Because Rabbosai, the majority of the burning of the temple took place on the 10th of Av, not the 9th of Av. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I think calendrically, it's actually wrong to observe the 9th. We should really observe the 10th. So why do we observe the 9th? So why did the rabbis establish the 9th as the fast? If indeed the majority of the burning of the building took place on the 10th, v'rabanan aschalta de paranusa adifa. And as for the rabbis, because again, what we do is we mark the beginning of the catastrophic events. The beginning of the catastrophic events are what is most traumatic. The fact that it had a duration that spanned a longer time, the trauma is when the event first occurs. The event first occurred, the Beis HaMikdash was set ablaze on the 9th, Aschalto de Paranusa, that is the beginning of the tragedy, Adifa, and therefore that is what we observe. That is primarily what we observe. Ubishni Aminala, so both sides, these psukim, remember, all refer to Vuchanetzar is first Beis HaMikdash. So these psukim all refer to first Beis HaMikdash. How do we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed on the 9th of Av? Disanyo, because again, we learned in Abraisa, Megalgalin Schus Liom Zakai, the Chol Liom Charev, said, is amazing, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes good events to occur on good days and bad events to occur on bad days. Meaning the 9th of Av is a day that is marked for tragedy. Essentially what the Gemara answers is, there is no other day that the second Beis HaMikdash could have been destroyed other than the 9th of Av. So it's interesting. We have no Pasuk. But Lamaisa, again, the Gemara says it's an inescapable reality that it must have happened on the 9th of Av. Kishachara Beis HaMikdash Barisan Abosa is a very moving Gemara. When the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Osa Hayom, that day, Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. So that day, Erev Tisha B'Av Abosa, again, the way the Rashi understands Erev Tisha B'Av means it was the afternoon of the 9th of Av. Not because obviously it doesn't make sense to say that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was destroyed on Erev Tisha B'Av, meaning it was the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, was the Erev of Tisha B'Av. Umotze Shabbos Hayah, it was Motze Shabbos. Umatzei Shavias, and in the agricultural cycle, it was the year after the Shemitah year. Umishmarta shal Yehoyariv Haisa. Also, remember we saw already before, Yehoyariv was the primary Mishmar. He was like the head Mishmar. Remember, we saw them why. They did not return during times of the second Beis Hamikdash. That's why, remember, again, Yedayah becomes the primary Mishmar in the second temple era because Yehoyariv does not return. It was the Mishra of Yehoyariv. V'halevim hayu omrim shira v'omrim al duchanu. And Rabbi say, when the enemies of the Jewish people came into the Beis Hamikdash, so the Levim were singing shira, standing on the duchan, the steps right before the Mizbeach. Uma shira hayu omrim. What shira were they saying? They were saying the pasuk v'yoshev aleim es onam ubera asom yatzmisim. Literally, he visited upon them their own violence. He is a Hakadosh Baruch Hu. God visited upon us the violence ubera asom and our own evil. In our own evil, yatzmisim. They cut them off. Now, also, what's interesting about this is, remember, this is saying that it's Motzei Shabbos. That's actually the Shir Shal Yom of Wednesday. That's Shir Shal Yom of Wednesday. But interestingly enough, for whatever reason, there was confusion. They ended up singing that shira on that day, which of course is very auspicious and very, very symbolic, because again, they sang it on the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. For those speak olam yatzmin sema Hashem Elokeinu, and they weren't even able to finish up the shira of Hashem, will cut them off in their wickedness at sheba'u nochrim v'kivshum, until again the nochrim came in, the marauding armies of the Babylonians came in and uvikivshum, and ultimately conquered the Beis Hamikdash. V'chein b'shniyah, and so too the same sequence of events occurred in the second Beis Hamikdash as well. Nilkida Beitar. So also remember again, the next event that happened was the city of Beitar was, remember again, I mentioned it in the Mishnah. So the city of Beitar was the last stronghold of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Bar Kokhba rebellion, remember, occurs 60 years after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. People thought that Bar Kokhba was going to turn everything around, according to Rabbi Akiva, who renamed him from Bar Kokhba to Bar Koziba, essentially declaring him the Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva felt that he was the Mashiach. Bar Kokhba is killed, and when Bar Kokhba is killed, tragic, compounded the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Beitar was the last holdout, and when Beitar fell, that was pretty much the end of Jewish autonomy, the beginning of Hadrianic persecution. Remember again, Beitar also, they would not let us bury the dead for days after the massacre there. So again, Beitar fell on the 9th of Av. How do we know that? Gemara. That's a tradition we have. Nechrash Ha'ir, the city was plowed over. What does it mean? Tanyo. Kishecharav Turnus Rufus Harasha Sahichal. We will say when Turnus Rufus went ahead and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. This is, remember, second temple now. Nigzra Gzira Begamliel. Listen to this. So there was a Gzira. There was a decree that was handed down about Rabbi Gamliel. Lahariga, that he was to be executed. Meaning when Turnus Rufus went ahead and destroyed the Beis, he also wanted to destroy Jewish leadership. So they wanted to kill Rabbi Gamliel. So a certain Roman official came along, va'amar b'beis hamedrash, and he came to the Beis Hamedrash, va'amar bal hachotem mispakish. Literally, the individual with the big nose is being sought after. The mispakish is wanted. The individual with the big nose is being wanted. And I will say, interestingly enough, this was an accolade. This was not an insult. Look at Rashi. Bal hachotem. This was bal koma v'tzura lishna achar gadol hadar. But big nose refers to, ultimately, again, the head of the generation. Just like the nose is like the most pronounced, prominent feature of the face. So again, the nose of the generation is the Gadol Hadar. So this Roman, now again, we don't know who this Roman was, but for some reason he felt compelled to tip off Rabbi Gamliel that he was wanted. Now obviously he can't say it explicitly, because then he himself will be executed. So he just simply shows up to the Beis Hamikdash and says, big nose is wanted, big nose is wanted. It's code. So obviously, again, they knew what he was talking about. Shama Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel heard this. Azal tashaminayhu. And he went into hiding. Azal agabe betzina. So we'll say this Roman officer caught up with Rabbi Gamliel. He met him. In hiding. And listen to this. Amar lei, imatzono lecha. This is so dramatic. Maisis lili alma da'asi. So this Roman general, when he's not identified who it is, but it must have been that he saw everything that was going on around him and he just realized it was wrong. But yet, again, he also felt that he was powerless to stop it in any way. So he says, Rabbi Gamliel, tell me, if I save you, will you promise to bring me to the world to come? Will you promise that I'll have Olam Haba? Amar lehein. So Rabbi Gamliel says, yes, if you save me, I could promise you a portion of the world to come. Ishtaboyili. The Roman officer said to Rabbi Gamliel, swear to me that I will have a portion of the world to come. Ishtabale. And Rabbi Gamliel swore to him. Salik leger, what did the Roman officer do? He went up to the roof of the building. Nafil umis. He threw himself off of it and he died. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Ugmiri, there was a tradition, again, in the Roman councils, d'chi gazri gezerta umayis chad minayhu mevatli l'gzirasai. Rabbi said there was a practice in the Roman councils that when a particular Roman council would declare a particular edict, they'd make a particular decree. If one of the members of the council died before the decree was executed, the decree was annulled. Why? It was felt to be bad luck. So it's bad luck that here you have one of the members of the council is dead before the decree. It must be that this is not a good omen. Let's annul the decree. So the Roman officer realized that by taking his own life, the decree against Rabbi Gamliel would be annulled, thereby saving Rabbi Gamliel's life. Yotzes Abaskol va'amra. Abaskol, a heavenly voice came out and said, Adon zeh mezumen l'chaye olam haba. This man is again muzuma, literally invited or set aside for eternal life in the world to come. Quite an amazing Gemara. He gave his life. Right. So there's a lot of discussions just about, in general, this idea of taking his life. Remember, again, Bnei Noach are also one of the Shemites. Bnei Noach is, you're not allowed to take your life. Suicide is prohibited even by Gentiles, not just by Jews. Okay, so leaving aside, obviously there's a lot to talk about with this, but the idea is this was the piece that he could do to end this particular pocket. I'm sorry? Steve said, although it's not so posh that you're permitted to give your life to save a tzaddik also. Meaning, because remember, again, life is life. The halacha is clear. I can't actively end my life to go ahead and save someone else. The shayla is, in this kind of case, let's say, you know, the classic case that comes up is if, you know, army surrounds a city and says, you know, we want the gadol. So can I volunteer myself to be given over to them instead of the tzaddik? So that there might be some room for. This already is a little bit different because I'm not actively taking my own life. I'm just delivering myself up into the hands of my enemies. If they take my life, they'll take my life. Here, he's actively taking his life. Okay.
What about throwing yourself on a grenade like to save?
So that has to do, again, so there you get into the very difficult situations of what are you permitted to do to save the collective. So there it appears that one is permitted to give their life to save a greater group of people. But again, these are complicated situations. So we'll say, Salamais, again, the Roman officer goes ahead and gives up his life and is indeed invited to live in the world to come. We'll say another dramatic story. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Niskamtsu kitos shal pirchei kuhuna. The groups of pirchei kuhuna, we'll say, pirchei kuhuna were the young kohanim, the young boys who are just being trained in the ways of the kuhuna. Umaftechos ha-heichal biyadan. And they had the keys of the Beis HaMikdash in their hand. Va'alu l'gaga heichal. They went up to the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash. Va'amun l'fanav. And they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, God, ho'yo v'lo zachinu lihios kizbar ne'emanim. Because you did not deem us to be trustworthy custodians of your Beis HaMikdash, yihiyu maftechos mesuros lach. We give the keys of the Beis HaMikdash back to you. Well, listen to this. Uzarkum klape malo. They threw the keys up towards the heavens. The yatzisa kein pisas yad v'kibalta nehen. Can you imagine this? And a heavenly hand came out and accepted the keys from them. So first of all, you have to understand the drama of that also. The Ribono shel Olam taking the keys of the Beis HaMikdash back from the Kohanim. And after that, Vehem Kaftzu v'naflu l'soch ha'or. They went ahead and literally they jumped off the roofs into the fires below and ended their lives. So this also has to do also with a much greater discussion about taking your life in order to avoid torture at the hands of an enemy. These Pirchei Kuhuna, remember again, that it's really both the Babylonians and the Romans. They went out of their way to torture the Kohanim. Meaning the Kohanim received an incredible amount of just barbaric treatment at the hands of, because again, the Kohanim were the spiritual elite. So there is this idea that one is permitted to go out and take their own lives rather than fall into the hands of the enemy if I know that it's just going to be unspeakable torture. So these young children ultimately again give back the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, and right after that they take their lives. Va'alein koni Yoshiyahu Hanavi, and about them Yoshiyahu lamented and he said, Masa Gechi Zayona, prophecy in the valley of vision. Malucha ifo ki alisa kulach legagos. What is it that all of you ascended to the rooftops? Tishuos malea ir homia. Right, it originally was a city that was filled with such beautiful commotion. Kiria Aliza, a city of such joy. Chalalecha lo chalalei cherev. Your bodies are not the victims of the sword. Lo mesei milchama, you did not die in war. So what Yirmiyahu was lamenting was the Nebuchadnezzar's children who felt so compelled that the only option they had was to jump into the fires below. Va'af ba'kodesh baruch hu ne'emar, so too by God it says, mekarker kir, mekarker, mekarker. Let me just read this away from the pasuk. Mekarkar, excuse me, kir v'shoa el hahar. Literally, he cries and laments. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried out when he saw this. Mishenichnas av mematin b'simcha. When the month of Av comes, we diminish our external joy. Am Rav Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas b'shmei d'Rav. Keshem shek mishenichnas av mematin b'simcha. In the same way, that when the month of Av comes, we diminish our external forms of joy. Kach mishenichnas adar. Marbin b'simcha. So too, when the month of Adar comes, what we intensify our joy. Amud beis. Amud Rapapa. Rapapa says, therefore, hilchach. So I will say, what does this mean practically? So Rapapa says, hilchach. Bar Yisrael de isle dina b'hadin achri. If a Jew has a court case with a non-Jew, l'shtamit minei ba'av. Don't go to court in Av. Dereya mazlei. Because the mazel of a Jew is compromised in the month of Av. V'limtzei nafshi ba'adar. Dibar ye mazlei. But again, better to go ahead. And if you can get it deferred to Adar, better to do that. Why? Because Adar is a month in which the mazel of the Jew is strong. L'aseis lochem acharis v'tikva. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, again, it's quoting the Pasuk over here in Yirmiyah, l'aseis lochem, to give you acharis, an end, v'tikva, and hope. Amr Avihu de Breidrav Shmuel, what does this mean? Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav, Elu Dekalim Upklei Pishtan. This refers to the date palms as well as the linen of Bavel, of Babylon. So we'll say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Dekalim, Lisparnismen Sheishmen Bavel Harik, Tamina Parakamon, Pishtan Levushim. So what the Navi is saying is, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us into Galus, so the situation is never hopeless. Because you know what the good part in Bavel was? There was always abundant food. Now again, not Slav Stavka steak, but there were dates. There was always what to subsist on, and apparently again, linen was less expensive in Bavel as well, so there was always the ability to have clothing. So we'll say, it's two things, you know. It's number one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when he punishes us, he goes ahead and places in there the ability to soften the blow. And I will say, it's even something else. It's the optimism of the Jew. You know, the Jew is like the master of seeing the silver lining. Okay, where Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, right? Jewish life was totally turned upside down. There's no more autonomy. Yerushalayim was raised into a plowed field. But you know what? We have what to eat. You know what? We have what to wear. Far from perfect. But again, it's such an important yisod in life. You know, we so often become focused on the things that are wrong and on the things that don't work and on the challenges and the problems we have. But and again, they're real challenges and real problems. But just simply focusing on them to the exclusion of everything else is not going to solve them. But the Jew has this different perspective of hope, of optimism. It's bad. But you know what? There are rays of light even in the midst of all the darkness. There's food, there's dates. Okay, it's not, maybe I don't like dates so much, but at least they fill me up. And there's clay pishtan. Vayomer, Pasuk over here says, in Bereshis, Vayomer, Re'ei reyach b'ni k'reyach ha'sode she'berocho Hashem. See that the scent of my son is like the scent of the field that God has blessed him with. Or we'll say, what does it mean? I remember, again, this is by Yaakov, this is Toldos. This is by Yaakov Avinu when he comes in. He's masquerading as Esav. So Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak says, the scent of my son is like the reyach ha'sode, like the reyach of the field. So Amr Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas m'shmei d'Rav k'reach sode shel tapuchim. So Yitzchak Avinu smelled that Yaakov had the scent of an apple orchard. Now we'll say, what's the chab with an apple orchard? So the idea, I don't think Rashi says anything over here. Rashi doesn't say, but if you look at Tosus, so Tosus shel tapuchim, yesh mefarshim tapuchim k'reach esrogim. Now we'll say, there is a dispute as to what Gan Eden smells like. So one opinion says that it smells like apples. The other opinion says that it smells like esrogim, which I will say, just interestingly enough, according to some, also goes back to the fundamental dispute as to what did Adam Harish, what did Adam and Chava eat? What was on the eighth das tovara? Was it an apple? or was it an esrog? So it seems to be that these two machloksim are rooted in one another. What is the dominant feature? What is the dominant scent of Gan Eden? In any event, when Yaakov Avinu walks into Yitzchak, he smells something that is just different. He smells Gan Eden along with his son. So remember, the Mishnah said that the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, you are not permitted to go ahead and launder your clothing, excuse me, to take a haircut, and bless you, and to launder your clothing. So when we say that you're not allowed to launder clothing on the week of Tisha B'Av, on the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, that only means what? That only means to launder and to wear. But to go ahead and launder the clothing and to put it away for later, meaning if, let's say, I want to launder clothing during the week of Tisha B'Av, but I'm not going to wear it now, I'm going to wear it after Tisha B'Av, then says Rav Nachman, that's mutter. But Rav Sheshes says, no, afilu lechabis ulahaniach asr. No, you can't do any laundry during the week of Tisha B'Av, even if what? Even if you're going to go ahead and leave it for after Tisha B'Av. Amar Rav Sheshes says the following. Rav Sheshes says, so fundamental machlokes Rav Sheshes and Nachman. Rav Sheshes teda de batli kitzir de beirav. So Rav Sheshes, I'll give you the raya that the launderers of Rav's home, literally the people who do the laundry, they were always idle during the week of Tisha B'Av. What does that show you? It shows you that not only you're not permitted to do laundry for Tisha B'Av, for the week of Tisha B'Av, but you can't even do laundry for after Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says de beirav masiv. Excuse me. Masiv Rafamuna. Rafamuna raises a kasha. Bechamishi mutarim they cover Shabbos. What did the Mishnah say? That however you are permitted to launder clothing on Thursday because of Kavod Shabbos. So the Gemara says lemai. So what are we talking about? Ilema lechabes velilbosh. If we're saying that's what, that you can go ahead and launder it on Thursday and wear it on Thursday also, then my Kavod Shabbos ego. Then where is the Kavod Shabbos in that? Elo, rather it must be lahaniach. It must be talking about what? That you're permitted to go ahead and launder the clothing. And lahaniach, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ella lav lechabes ulahaniach ada Shabbos. It must be that what? That you're going ahead of us. Remember, why are you laundering this? Because you're laundering it now on Thursday, even though, again, it's the week of the 9 days. It must be that what? That maybe Tisha B'Av is Friday, and you're laundering it for after Tisha B'Av. So what do you see from here? That you are permitted to go ahead and launder clothing during the week of Tisha B'Av for after Tisha B'Av use. So the Gemara says, Elaniach ubechamishi hudishari aval ha-Shabbos kula aser. But Rabbo said, what do we see from here? We see from the Maisa, the only dispensation for this is when it's on Thursday. But you can't do this when. Now remember, in this case, we're assuming Tisha B'Av is on Friday. But you can't do it Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So you see from here that under normal circumstances, you cannot launder clothing during the week of Tisha B'Av, even for post-Tisha B'Av use. To which the Gemara says, Li'olam lichbos ulilbosh. Now in reality, when you're laundering it on Thursday, you're not just simply laundering it to wear after Tisha B'Av, you're laundering it to wear now. And what's the case? The case is where you only have one shirt. So the idea over here is, I have one shirt, and if I don't launder it on Thursday, I will not be able to wear it on Shabbos. Now the reality is, however, I'm going to be wearing that laundered garment even before Shabbos. Right, even before Shabbos. It's the only garment I have. Also, I'll tell you, you know, there's a book, a good biography called the Rosh Yeshiva Remembers about Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And in that book, Rav Shach learned in the yeshiva in Panovich in Europe, and it says that Rav Shach had one shirt, literally one shirt. Mm-hmm. So Thursdays, he would go up to the rooftop of the yeshiva, and he would wash his shirt. But the problem is, it was not bakavadik for him to come back into the base medrash, you know what, and his tzitzis and his undershirt. So he would wait on the rooftop until the shirt dried. And he would wait there in the winter, and he would wait there in the summer. That was his shirt. You know, we live in just such a different time. It's just amazing. So the Gemara says over here that, yes, what we're talking about in this case, a person has one shirt. So he's permitted to launder it on Thursday. We call that Lekavod Shabbos because he is laundering it for Shabbos, even though what? He's actually going to end up wearing it even before Shabbos as well. To which the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mi she'enu ala chaluk echad, someone who has only one shirt, muter lechabso b'chol ha'shomayin. Rabbi says, this is the chalamayisah. Chalamayin, remember, you're not permitted to do laundry either. But if you only have one shirt, you're permitted to do laundry and chalamayin. Itmar Nami, we support this as well. Amar Rabbi Yomer, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lo Shana Ela Lichbos Velilbosh. Aval Haniach Mutter. So, once again, you have Rabbi Yomer in the name of Rabbi Lazar, who again says, like Rav Nachman, that Lemaisa, you're not allowed, you're on, during the week of Tisha B'Av, you can't launder in order to wear the clothing, but you can launder to put away clothing for after Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says, however, I'm sorry, may say, Asr Lechabe Slif. Supposed to hear the Bryce says you are not permitted to launder during the week of Tisha B'Av, even to leave it for after Tisha B'Av. And Abba say gihutz literally means pressing. So pressing, when we press clothing, our gihutz shalanu kikibus shalahem. So the gihutz, our pressing in Eretz Yisrael, is like again what in Bavel they call kibus, laundering, uklei pishtan, and again linen garments. Ein bahem mishum gihutz. There's no problem with pressing them because lemaisa again, even when you press them, linen garments never look new. So the Gemara says tiyufta. This is a refutation. So we'll say, what do you see from here? An explicit brayso that says that on the week of Tisha B'Av, you may not do any kind of laundry, even for what? Even for use after Tisha B'Av. Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Giure Mishmed Rav Yochanan. Afa Pisha Amru Klei Pishtan Ein Bai Mishum Giutz. Even though we said that Klei Pishtan are not subject to the prohibition of pressing, because the Maya say again, even when you press them, they don't look new. Aval asur lelavshan b'shabes shechal Tisha B'Av v'yos b'socha. But you may not wear pressed Klei Pishtan, pressed linen garments on the week of Tisha B'Av. Amarav lo shano ela lefanav. Aval acharav mutter. Abo say, when we say that there's a prohibition on the week of Tisha B'Av, that prohibition only applies to what? The days before Tisha B'Av. But once Tisha B'Av is over, there is no restriction afterwards. Ushmuel or Shmuel says Rabbi very dramatically, Afil la'acharav nami aser. No, Shmuel says that the restrictions that apply on the week of Tisha B'Av apply not only before Tisha B'Av, but apply when? After Tisha B'Av as well.
How long before?
I'm sorry?
How long after?
The week.
The whole week.
It's calling about the week, correct?
And when you say the week, is that until Shabbos itself?
Or yeah, a week. Days? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos.
Well, Tisha B'Av is on the Tuesday. Is it from the Tuesday before to the Tuesday? Or from the Shabbos?
One calendrical week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. One unit of a week. Not 7 days. A week. Okay. They say, Shabbos chal Tisha B'Av liyos b'socha. Right? On the Shabbos, on the week that Tisha B'Av falls out to be within it, you are not permitted to take a haircut, nor are you permitted to go ahead and launder your clothing. But on Thursday, you're permitted to do so because of Kavod Shabbos. So, Kate, what's the case? If Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, Mutter lechabes kol haShabbos kula. So we'll say, obviously, Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, so what can you do? You can launder your clothing and take a haircut when? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. However, again, b'sheni, b'shlishi, I'm sorry, I skipped. But if Tisha B'Av falls out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, lefanavaser, I will say on the days prior to Tisha B'Av, you may not go ahead and launder your clothing and take a haircut for that matter. La'achar of mutter, but on the days after Tisha B'Av, you are permitted to launder your clothing and take a haircut. Chalihios be'erev Shabbos. What happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday? Mutter lechabes bechamishi mipnei kavod haShabbos. You are permitted to go ahead and launder your clothing on Thursday for Kavod Shabbos. Ve'imlo kibes bechamishi b'Shabbos, and for some reason you didn't launder your clothing on Thursday, so in that case, mutar lechabes be'erev Shabbos min ha'mincha ulamalo. Rabbi says, so if you did not launder your clothing on Thursday for Kavod Shabbos, you are permitted what? To go ahead and launder your clothing on Friday, which is what? Which is Tisha B'Av, min ha'mincha ulamala, from mincha taminan. Because again, Rabbi say, we know that the restrictions of Tisha B'Av are relaxed from chatzos, and I will get to that. Layit ala Abaye. So Abaye cursed this. V'itema Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rach Aha. Chalihios b'sheni. So Rabbi say, which means that Abaye voiced his displeasure with this. Right? So aha, on this idea, look at Rashi. Light al Abai v'tamer of Acha b'Yakov aha, ha-mechabes t'shuva filim in ha-mincho l'mala, v'adikai b'ray, so Abai was vehemently against this practice of laundering clothing on Tisha B'Av itself. He felt that this was an egregious practice. Chalios b'sheni b'chamish. Shabbos, I similarly again. So just you should know, halacha l'maisa, we paskin that we do not launder clothing on, for us, it's not just, again, the Shavuot Shechalbo, but again, we observe these, Ramos says, we observe all of these practices already from Rosh Chodesh Av itself, and we paskin that on the 9 days, you are not permitted to go ahead and launder clothing, even for use for after Tisha B'Av. Certainly, you can't launder clothing for the 9 days itself, but you can't even launder clothing for the sake of after Tisha B'Av as well. We'll say, obviously, this all refers to things that you don't need. A person runs out of clothing, then a person is permitted to go out and launder their clothing. But Lamais, assuming a person has enough, you can't do certainly for the 9 days, and you can't do for after the 9 days either. So the Gemara says, Vayter. Chalios b'sheni b'chamishi. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Monday or a Thursday, Korin shlosha umafter echad. So we'll say you have three aliyos, and one of those aliyos is a maftir. One of those aliyos is called up for maftir. B'shlishi b'ravi. However, again, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, meaning a non-kriyas haTorah day, kora echad, you read one aliyah, umaftir echad, and one maftir. Rabbi Yossi says, the olam korin shlosha, umaftir echad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you always read, meaning whenever Tisha B'Av falls out, you're always going to read three aliyos. And the last Ola, he gets to do the math. He gets to do the Haftorah. To Yufta the Shmuel. And we'll say this seems to go ahead and pose refutation to Shmuel. We'll say, and I remember again, what we just quoted was part of the previous Braisa. So remember, Shmuel said that Lamaisa, Shmuel was the one who said that even after Tisha B'Av, the restrictions of the 9 days or of Shul Shechabo apply after Tisha B'Av is off for the rest of that week. So what we just said in the above Braisa refute Shmuel, Amalecha Shmuel will say to you, Tanoihi, indeed this is a Machlokes Tanoim, Disanyo, Tisha B'Av Shechalios Be'er B'Shabbis, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbis, or for that matter, if Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, then what we also remember, now again, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, obviously we're not fasting on Tisha B'Av. So if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, what is the halacha? Ochal v'shose kol tzarcho, you can eat and drink as much as you want. V'umala al shulchan afili kisuda shlomo hamelech b'shaito. Shlomo b'shaito, excuse me. And you could go ahead and eat a seuda, a Solomonic feast. As I was saying, what's the chab of that? We actually had that. I think that was it last year, 2 years ago, that Tisha B'Av fell out, or Erev Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos. It's two, whatever it is. So normally, remember, on Erev Tisha B'Av, by Suda Mafsekes, by the last meal, you are normally restricted in what you could eat. However, again, if Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos itself, there is no restriction on what you eat. You want to have a lavish, fleshig shalashudis, right? Your Suda Mafsekes, you're permitted to. Remember, again, normally, on Erev Tisha B'Av, remember, there's a restriction on eating meat. People often confuse the Suda Mafsekes on Erev Yom Kippur with the Suda Mafsekes on Tisha B'Av. Those are two very, very, very different meals. The Suda Mafsekes on Erev Yom Kippur is a celebratory meal that is supposed to be fleishik, it's supposed to be meat, it's a joyous Suda. Suda Mafsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av is not a joyous meal by any stretch of the imagination. It's a very simple meal. It cannot be meat. Because remember, again, there's a restriction on eating meat during the 9 days. It cannot be meat. And again, it's a very simple meal that preferably one should not even have two cooked items at that meal. So however, again, if Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, or Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, L'maisa, you're permitted to have a lavish. So we'll say, no, actually, we'll stop over here. We're going to pick up tomorrow with Amar Lecha Shmuel Tanoihi. We'll pick up with that piece. So we're leaving off 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom.